At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Monday morning. Paul Kuharsky will be with us at 7.15. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. Get their thoughts on the Titans' season-opening loss to the Chicago Bears yesterday. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. We have discussed and will continue to discuss the brutal interception by Will Levis that cost the Titans the game yesterday. Joe, I brought this up earlier. So DeAndre Hopkins, I need to find a snap count for him. It couldn't have been more than like seven yesterday for him in the Titans offense. Clearly still dealing with the injury and I guess was healthy enough to play in a very limited role with a package for him yesterday, but not much more than that. Ends up with one catch for 8 yards. So basically, Hopkins was a non-factor in the game yesterday. Ridley had 3 catches for 50 yards. We've talked about a couple of misses that could have really inflated that number for him. Tyler Boyd, 3 catches for 18 yards. NWI, not a catch yesterday. Traylon Burks, 1 catch for 2 yards. So with Hopkins essentially out yesterday, you had 0 catches for NWI and 1 catch for 2 yards for Traylon Burks.
Kieser reports 13 snaps for Hopkins. Yeah, it's very...
Kuharsky says 15.
Oh, 15. Ooh, who's right? Is it Kieser or Kuharsky?
Well, actually, it's not me reporting it. It's from Teron Davenport's Twitter when he throws out all the snap counts after the games are over.
All right. Sounds like PK's got a fact there. But it was PK on the text line. He then confirmed that Aukerman is at Page High School. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying with Craig... By the way, just real quick. I'm not saying, you know, like things got bad last year. I get it. But I think maybe he got a little bit too much blame. Just saying.
All right. You think so? He did get the punter killed.
Anderson!
We got to I think Colt might just.
Colt?
Colt!
Colt. It makes no sense at all, right? Like, there's no carryover. But how could you. Like, this is becoming the – you know, the Titans thing, people are like, oh, they always run the ball or they never have great receivers. They can't – quarterback, like, bad special teams.
Yeah.
They're in a heck of a run here.
It's a heck of a run. There's no doubt about that. But it just feels – I mean, look, Hopkins on the whole, just not useful yesterday. He's clearly dealing with the injury. So that is what it is. But clearly the Titans knew that heading into the game, and that was their plan. So you got yet another opportunity – for Traylon Burks to step in there and make some plays for the team. And it feels like either the only thing they trust him to do is the end around, or the only thing that he's able to do and get open is the end around or the 2-yard pass that he caught in this game. Like, he got targeted twice yesterday, made 1 catch for 2 yards in a game where Hopkins clearly wasn't going to be a big factor. So, you know, all this talk that we've had about Burks and could this be, you know, kind of the ideal role for him to step in? And when everybody's healthy, probably he's not going to play a ton, but you can take some deep shots with him. Can he make some plays with Hopkins being out? 3 touches yesterday for 3 yards. So 1 yard a touch for Burks.
Yeah, obviously a non-factor. It's also just, I mean, 127 pass yards, just a meager passing attack in general, right? And so – like, so much of the passing game just never really got going. I mean, 7 targets for Ridley, 5 for Boyd, and clearly those are the 2 guys Levis was looking for.
Yes.
And then you got 4 for Pollard and 4 for Spears. So that right there is let me do the math there. That's 20 of your 27 targets. Your backs and those two receivers, and it's just like, I mean, again, Chig had the big TD, yeah. So that was good, but a little, little tight end, a couple tight end screen, little play action waggles to Vinette, you know, but just, I mean, just not much going on downfield at all. I mean, the Boyd targets, five of those targets, I mean, those were all quick hitters, yep. Right? So basically, it was like Ridley, and then no one else was any kind of downfield factor at all.
Hey, one of those Boyd's targets was the interception. That counts.
That was Boyd who was over there?
I think Boyd was the one in the general vicinity of that football, yes.
Okay, well, I guess that was also short.
It was. Yeah. It was.
So, no, yeah, Burks, that was an opportunity. With Hopkins, you do also wonder, like, would it have been better to just –
not play?
Yeah, keep resting so you're full DeAndre Hopkins sooner. Hopefully for him and the Titans, there was no aggravation or anything like that. I don't think they would have played him if they were too concerned about that. But obviously, he played so little. It's like, why is that worthwhile?
Right. Exactly. Well, and
just so Taylor Lewan could be wrong.
Well, maybe so.
Exposed as a non-newsbreaker.
Maybe that is why it was worthwhile. But it's another offensive showing from the Titans. You get all these high hopes heading into the year about the offense, and could this be, under Brian Callahan, an offense that's a force to be reckoned with at some point? And to be fair, we have said there's a lot of new with this. There's a new offensive line, new play caller, new players, you know, other than Hopkins, that are playing the lion's share of the role at receiving. Like, the conventional wisdom would tell you that that's going to take a little bit of time for everything to gel. I'm disappointed it didn't look better than that, though. Like, my expectations were higher than that we saw yesterday, where they just looked anemic. It looked like they couldn't get anything done in the second half. And again, you know, in the passing game in the first half, I know they had a couple of short fields and they put 17 points up, so you'll take that every time in a half. But I just didn't think the passing game looked crisp at all, really, from start to finish yesterday.
No, it didn't. And so some of that is some misses. Some of that is protection. I mean, as a lot of people point out, I'm not sitting here saying it was all about Dylan Reyes, but it did get way worse when he left the game. The thing is, a lot of the issues were on the other side of the line anyway, so it doesn't have anything to do with him. But nothing looked good. Rough day. We talk about the Kentucky Titans, you know, fan combo. Some people on here, you know, Keith from Bowling Green, sorry, buddy, hang in there. Also, the Bengals offensive guys day. How about VFL Gerard Mayo and the Patriots going and winning in Cincinnati and Burrow throwing for about 10 yards?
Not great.
Actually, a really bad day around the league. I think I saw a stat, it was like the average passing yards was like 180. Defenses starting to take over.
The league is cyclical.
Yeah, it is. Defenses having more answers now. But just from the Titans' perspective, there was nothing that was working in the second half. Are the Bears good on defense? Yeah, I think they are. I think the Bears
I think they're good. I think it's been way overinflated what they actually are on the defensive side of the ball heading into this.
Yeah, they're not the 85 Bears. They are good. They've got some good players for sure. And, I mean, Eberflus it's what he is. I mean, they got betrayed last year sometimes when it wasn't on them that they lost. So it's good. But I think they'll play better defenses. The New York Jets,
they're getting ready to play better defense.
Better
about
defense
to say, yeah.
than they just saw. So get ready.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how that goes tonight for them.
Yeah,
I mean,
the Niners will put 40 on them tonight. I said that
they could. Well, and the other thing with the Jets is, hey, here's your start to the season. You get to fly out to San Francisco, and then the next week turn around and fly to Tennessee. So have fun with all that. You know, hopefully the Titans can go back and regroup, and the offense looks like it has a clue next week. But it was really concerning to me just how off the passing game looked yesterday. And we talked about the line, too. Like, that's the other part of this. Yeah, I mean, the Bears have some good pass rushers. Obviously, Sweat is a good pass rusher. I have no idea if Daryl Taylor is or not, but they made him look like one yesterday. Guess what? You're getting ready to see some better pass rushers, too, coming up. Like, that's why yesterday's game, beyond the obvious of the quarterback, I said this heading into the game. Go look at their schedule to begin the season. You needed to get Sunday. Like, you needed to go get it. And they had it. It was right there for the taking. They had it in their grasp. And they just totally let it get away from them yesterday. Which, there's always, when you're a team like this, there's always a game or two that you can look back at the end of the year and say, man, let one get away from us, and that ended up being costly. I don't know if this is going to be it or not for the Titans, but it certainly has got a chance to be just a really damaging loss as this season moves ahead here.
Yeah, and they got a chance. I mean, there's a lot of people here saying, well, we're going to pick one. We're going to pick three. Maybe that's true, too. Maybe this is
I got
is
an
just...
idea of who's going to pick one after yesterday. Boy, does Carolina look bad.
Man. Yeah, that's ugly. Because I thought maybe the Patriots might be that team.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently not. Huh. Apparently the Patriots are – and the whole AFC East are very good. But, no, it could be one they regret. It could be a sign of things to come. The defense – if that's what the defense is going to be this year, they're going to be in a lot of football games.
Yep.
You know, like it or not, they're going to be in a lot of football games and have a chance to win. If the special teams is like that, I mean, the special teams is like, it's crisis.
It's awful.
Like Levis, terrible decision. That's the game-losing play. Obviously, he's the biggest concern and issue and talking point, but it's like crisis point for the special teams. That was atrocious.
615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will join us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. We go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm well, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, PK, obviously a disastrous day for the Titans yesterday, blowing the 17-0 lead. Will Levis with a catastrophic interception. I thought Levis was off pretty much all day yesterday, and then you put the cherry on top of it with a disastrous pick. It is one game. It's one of 17, but how concerning was what you saw yesterday from Will Levis and this Titans offense?
Well, he's just very uncomfortable. The whole game didn't seem to you know, they talked about like mastering the mundane and taking the lesser pass and all of that stuff, which he seemed to be pretty good at in the preseason and in practices. But yesterday, even that stuff wasn't there. And then he didn't get a lot of help from the offensive line and this new weaponry and the scheming that I think we expected big things from Brian Callahan. I think it's at some point he said, you know, there's scheme for everything. And it felt very much like Todd Downing and Tim Kelly and yes, Craig Aukerman. You know, and I know, you know, we're concluding that the coaching isn't necessarily the problem. Playing is the problem. Well, I think the coaching and the playing is a problem on special teams and with the team. I don't think the Bears are very good at all. Caleb Williams wasn't very good at all. And the defense is getting a lot of praise, but they didn't take the ball away from a quarterback who was bad. And I know Levis was giving it away more than they were taking it away, but the Titans got to find a way to do more there, and that's what all the defenders said as well. So overall, just a really insufficient effort with too many stupid plays headlined by the quarterback and special teams.
So when you texted us and said they're both to blame, what was that a reference to? Was it playing and coaching? Is that what you're saying? Got to coach better, got to play better?
No, Aukerman and Anderson.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, so I hear you. I don't think I have the bandwidth today to worry about the defense not taking the ball away. I mean, my God. Like, I mean, come on. Those guys, you're talking about 147 total yards. I know some of it is just Caleb Williams missing throws and stuff like that. But, like, that was an effort that wins in the NFL 99% of the time, no?
Yeah, no, it's a great defensive effort. I'm not into celebrating the defense's great effort after losing that game. That's not a story to me.
No one's celebrating anything, but I'm just saying. No,
there was a little – Jeff Simmons was very smiley after that game and very satisfied with the defensive effort, and I don't care. But when the other two units are that bad, the defense could pitch a – you know, well, they can't pitch a shutout because they couldn't have managed to lose that one, but – you know, you can have an all-star effort on defense, and that's nice, and I don't want to spend much time on it because the other two things were such a disaster. So it doesn't matter.
So on the Levis front, beyond the obvious of the interception, you know, a couple misses to Ridley yesterday, missed one right on the opening drive that would have been a first down had he hit him. Like, I had concerns heading into this. We've talked about it with you on Wednesdays as well about the accuracy, and he did nothing to really help that out yesterday. Like, when you look at the misses, Is that something at the quarterback position that you think gets dramatically better as he moves forward? Or is this something that may just be what he is in terms of the accuracy down the field?
Well, it's got to be better than that. And, I mean, they've designed things to get his completion percentage up and to make things easier. And, you know, so some of those misses, Robbie, have to be cleaner on the shorter stuff. And then, you know, I talked about it going into this game that breaking tackles is a big thing for this team on those shorter passes, that they've got to get some yak yards. And Chicago tackled very well, but none of these guys looked dynamic. I mean, Pollard was the one offensive guy who did some stuff. But who else broke a tackle in this game at any point? You know, the screen game that looked good in New Orleans and that we thought was going to be a big feature of this team didn't do anything, you know, and you like to run some screens when the pressure's getting to you to get away from where the rushers are coming from, and that was completely ineffective. So basically nothing worked, and, you know, Callahan said as much. I was really disappointed the first two drives. I mean, they had 5 3 and outs in 12 series, but you got to come out with something better scripted than that. And I thought he kind of tiptoed into it. And I don't want to see a new coach, no matter how much he feels like he needs to baby his quarterback, tiptoe into a game against a team like that. I think you got to come out swinging more than they did.
So they do have the two really good drives, PK, and running the football is featured. And to me, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, that's got to be central to this offense. It has to be. But the second half, I mean, Raidens goes out, and I can't attribute the offensive line struggles too much to that, but it did seem to really hurt them. But beyond that, just the offensive line, I thought as much it was a tale of two halves as anything in this game in terms of I was pretty impressed in the first half, and then it just looked so familiar like the last 2 years in the second half. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, they started coming more, as Callahan said. The Bears started coming more on first and second down, and this is another thing that echoes to the past. The Bears, I know you talked about orange slices at halftime. Well, the Bears did a lot more with their orange slices than the Titans did with their orange slices, because the Bears started coming on first and second down harder, and the Titans' adjustment to the Bears' adjustment was insufficient, or they weren't capable of making it. Hello, Todd Downing. Hello, Tim Kelly. And look, one game, sure, but yeah, I'm expecting a lot more from Brian Kelly than that. And if the Titans are a team that can adjust to another team's adjustment again, you know, it's going to be a long, long year. So, you know, they've got to be able to tinker with that. Latham, you know, was getting beat around the corner too much. Skaronski got tossed around a couple of times. And those are the two guys you need to be pretty reliable. So we'll get better breakdowns now of the offensive line's play, but it was not close to good enough often enough.
So PK, yesterday, other than, you know, Nick Folk making his kicks and Velus Jones basically punting the ball to the Titans kickoff team, it was a disaster on special teams, from the block to Jaquan Jackson making some poor decisions in the return game. They couldn't cover a punt yesterday when Stonehouse got it off. How big of a red flag is that to you in week one? Do you chalk it up as one game and move on, or is your concern with special teams very, very high at this point after one game?
No, it's got to be very, very high until they show they can do something there. And I hadn't thought about it this way, but somebody brought it up in my podcast last night. You know, I should connect these dots. I talked a lot about, you know, we get all excited about these last five or six players on the roster because we watched them all preseason. And, you know, they're in a roster battle and everything. But when they make the team, you know, it was hard to find those last five guys. And then those last five, six guys, I know it's only to 48, but they're key special teamers. And, you know, they're not great football players. The Titans' depth is poor. And their depth are the guys that make up the special teams. So that's got to be part of it as well, that they're not good enough. And then, you know, I don't know how good a special teamer Thomas Odokoya is or David Martin Robinson, but we were told, you know, well, we're keeping five tight ends because they're going to be special teamers. They went heavier with linebackers and the like. But those guys did not collectively get the job done. And then to get Stonehouse hurt not hurt, but hit. Hit is a step away from hurt in his first game back after he got clubbed twice and smashed to pieces. The last time we saw him is just horrifying. I heard you guys talking about that earlier. I mean, you got to be on DEFCON 5 with that, and looked like they weren't close to it. And then Callahan said that came from the edge, and that sure seemed to me like it came from right up the middle. Yep. With just too many people and not enough blockers.
DEFCON 1. DEFCON 1 is bigger than DEFCON 5.
You should. All right, I inverted. Hey, it's not a lot of sleep. Yeah. Morning airport, you know how that
That's
goes.
Right. That's right. I got you. So I want to go back to receivers, PK. First of all, what was the benefit of Hopkins barely playing? To me, it's almost like just wait until he's totally ready. Second of all, we talked over and over about Ridley and Levis, and you saw it play out late in the game when they needed a play, and Levis is expecting back shoulder, and Ridley just keeps running the route. What do you think about that, and can they get that, and they get that figured out at any point?
Ridley and Levis are going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's just the preseason. When the game comes, he's going to run it right, and they're going to hit it, and it's all going to be fine. You guys are making too big a deal out of it in the preseason.
Maybe so.
Right? I mean, that's what we were told. And then, lo and behold, there it is. I mean, Ridley had two 22-yard catches, which is the biggest thing that they had. But, all of the new, quote-unquote, firepower wasn't anything in this game outside of Pollard, who was the best player on offense by a lot. They got to figure out the Ridley stuff, and it was more on Levis, like you guys were talking about, but it's one of them or the other one, and that needs to be a key component of this offense to pair with everything. And, they were in second and long a lot again, which is, again, sounds a lot like the last 3 years. And if you're in second and long, well, everybody's looking for you to take a shot, and it's easier to stop and all of that stuff. And here we are. It's only one game, but we're talking about all the same things we were talking about last year. They could have done a lot with a good performance to change the story. Instead, they've reinforced it.
Yep, no doubt about that. PK, great stuff, man. Thanks for being with us. Have a safe flight back to Nashville, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Great, guys. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what PK had to say. More of your thoughts on Will Levis's performance yesterday against the Bears. And the Titans blowing a 17-0 lead to drop to 0-1 on the season. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What do you think about that, and can they get that, and they get that figured out at any point?
Ridley and Levis are going to be fine. Don't worry about it. It's just the preseason. When the game comes, he's going to run it right, and they're going to hit it, and it's all going to be fine. You guys are making too big a deal out of it in the preseason.
Maybe so.
Right? I mean, that's what we were told. And then, lo and behold, there it is. I mean, Ridley had two 22-yard catches, which is the biggest thing that they had. But, all of the new, quote-unquote, firepower wasn't anything in this game outside of Pollard, who was the best player on offense by a lot. They got to figure out the Ridley stuff, and it was more on Levis, like you guys were talking about. But it's one of them or the other one, and that needs to be a key component of this offense to pair with everything. And, they were in second and long a lot again, which is, again, sounds a lot like the last 3 years. And if you're in second and long, well, everybody's looking for you to take a shot, and it's easier to stop and all of that stuff. And here we are. It's only one game, but we're talking about all the same things we were talking about last year. They could have done a lot with a good performance to change the story. Instead, they've reinforced it.
That's PK on with us, last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be with us. PK will be back with us on Wednesday from 8 to 9, talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on the loss to the Bears, 24-17. Titans up 17-0 in the game and end up losing 24-17. Disastrous interception from Will Levis. Disastrous special teams. And the Titans find themselves in an 0-1 hole after a game that ended up being very winnable for them falls through the cracks. Taking your thoughts on our text line. One texter says, don't get me wrong, offense special teams a disaster, but are we too critical on an offense that is almost brand new with a brand new offensive scheme to be perfect right out of the gate? To which I would say, I understand the question. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm asking for competency of some kind. which they did not really display at all in the second half.
Yeah, I answered perfect. How about not disastrous? You know, perfect, no. And look, again, two good drives, two good touchdown drives, but just – sorry, sneeze, like, right on deck. I was like, oh, I got to mute myself. I feel like Titans offense in the second half. Ooh, just no positive – no positive contribution at all in the second half. And like PK said, it's like, yeah, well, he's right. I mean, the halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I mean, you're adjusting the entire game, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're looking at the iPad, you're looking at the coverages, you're looking at the protections, and it's a constant. That's my whole thing. It's like, it's a constant. Yeah. It's like the only time they talk is halftime, and it's like, that's what we're doing in the second half. Let's go! You know, but whatever happened, they were out everything in the second half, and that's why they lost the game. In particular, one play lost the game, but also the special teams, atrocious. Got a Bears fan doing an I told you so, which is awesome. Bears fan here says, how about them Bears, baby? And then, offense gets their game checks, the defense, but a win's a win. Told you. Did you tell me that Caleb Williams would throw for 92 yards, have a 52 quarterback rating, you'd get a 147 total yards offense and win? Just take the win. I picked the Bears to be in the playoffs this year.
You did.
I feel way worse about my pick today. So good luck to you, sir. And your monsters of Midway. He says, I guess the Titans are the babies of Broadway.
I kind of like that.
I picked the Titans not to make the playoffs this year. I feel better about that. I feel worse about picking the Bears to make the playoffs this year.
I mean, they just put the – first off, on NFL Network, they've given Will Levis credit for 260 yards passing yesterday, which he definitely did not have. So somebody needs to fix that graphic.
Did they combine the two quarterbacks?
I don't know. They might have. Did they even get to 260 combined? I'll have to go do some math on that.
No. They barely got to 200 combined.
There you go. So – but they just showed the interception again. I mean, there's always hyperbolic statements that get thrown around in the world of sports. I think that's legitimately one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. I mean, it's just optically, and then knowing the situation. You're up 17-16 with the lead. Your defense is playing awesome all day. The only reason the Bears have scored points is your special team screwed up and blocked the punt and allowed a touchdown. And the drive before that, you got sacked from behind, fumbled the ball, and they kicked the field goal. I mean, the offense is doing nothing for Chicago all day long. And you're up 17-16, and you try to force that play along the sideline as you're getting drugged to the ground. It's just it's an all-time awful decision from Will Levis there.
Right. Like, it would have been a bad play at any point. It's a bad play for an NFL quarterback ever to try to do that. But at that point, you're near midfield, you're winning a game 17-16 in the fourth quarter. And you have to never take risks. Protecting the ball becomes more important as you get into that situation, right? Yep. I mean, the Bears scoring drives, like you said, there's the punt return, there's the interception return. They did have a 44-yard drive for a field goal. They had a 1-yard drive for a field goal after the strip sack, and they had a 9-play 28-yard drive for a field goal. So that's what they did. I mean, it was. Again, like we cited TDs, ESPN Stats Info, first time ever teams lost when they held the opponent less than 150 and had a 17-point lead. First time in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the type of history you're wanting to make if you're the Titans. And, again, you held that offense with Keenan Allen, who I know got hurt in the game, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift. We've talked about this. They've got some good skill players on that side of the ball. And the Titans defense totally shut those guys down. Totally shut those guys down.
23 combined targets for their big three, Moore, Allen, Odunze. 10 catches for 76 yards.
Yeah. Just stifled them.
I mean, 1 for 11 for Odunze, 4 for 29 for Keenan Allen, 5 for 36 for DJ Moore. And, you know, the defense, I will say, one big play in this game was that little DJ Moore end around where Diggs.
Got to find a way to put him down back
there. Diggs, you know, basically allows himself to be the second guy blocked by one guy on that play. And they, you know, but I mean, seriously, like, we are nitpicking to of all time here. We're talking about the defense.
We are.
They win that game. That's a defensive effort that wins 99% of the time.
Well, and I'll say this too, but you know, the way that game played out yesterday and the way the offense looked, it's one game. There's 16 more to go, but that offense yesterday looked like a team that's going to be picking pretty high in the draft coming up. You got to find a way to get something fixed there. It's just, again, we've talked about the offense taking some time to come together. There's a difference between taking time to come together and just being an absolute train wreck, which is what they were in the second half yesterday. Can't have it. You see, there's new coaching staff or not, there's no excuse for what we saw in the second half from that group yesterday.
Yeah. And this is where, I mean, I'm open to the possibility that I still think, you know, they have some things to work with on the offensive line. I mean, look, Bill Callahan, he's not Gandalf the Wizard, but, like, he has a track record.
Yeah.
We've seen Will Levis play like a – I mean, he's played good NFL games before. They've added weapons. You know, Hopkins will become more of a factor. I mean, like, yesterday does not – they're not condemned to be what they were yesterday, but boy, was it disappointing, especially in the second half.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And then, you know, the other part of this, too, that was concerning to me yesterday, the script, I totally agree with PK. Like, I thought they were really, really conservative coming out of the gate with the script. And I expected a little bit more than that. Now, look, in the game, they got off to a 17-0 lead, so it didn't end up hurting them. But, I mean, they went 3-and-out first drive. I just thought it was a little slow on the offensive side of the ball to start, and I was expecting a little bit more from Callahan heading into that. So, you know, it's one game, something to monitor there. And, look, you know, Callahan has said all the right things about Levis. He's clearly been excited about it. I think that's been genuine. But it did seem to me a little bit yesterday coming out of the gate in the script that it was like, all right, let's ease into this and see how things go with the offense.
Yeah, I hear you guys, but also, like, their TD drives, they ran it down their throat. And so, like, to me, that's the obvious game plan, isn't it? Like, you don't want to have that YOLO throw early and let the crowd get into
it. I'm not saying you have to have a YOLO throw, but it was basically, let's just turn around, hand the ball up the middle, and let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. But that's what worked for them. I mean, again, like, this year, they're going to run the ball and play defense, and that's how they're going to win. I know it's very exciting, Titans fans. You were so excited about this passing revolution that was coming into town. And, like, if they're winning, they're going to run, they're going to play defense, and they're, hopefully for them, not going to have catastrophic special teams.
I mean, hopefully not. They just showed the replay again on the NFL Network of the punt block. I mean, Stonehouse is just laying on the ground after that for a minute. I thought, when I first saw it, I was like, they did it again. He's down again. They just got him absolutely destroyed.
Like, the top of the board, if you're doing special teams for the Titans, top of the board is, of all things, don't let that guy get touched, right? Like, do not let him get touched.
Right.
That looked like that was an absolute jailbreak punt. It wasn't like one guy coming off the edge and just fantastic. And, like, they just completely bum-rushed him.
And I'm not expecting him to, like, get the yips like a pitcher on the mound. But I do wonder, like, at some point, is he affected by this? Like, oh, my God, every time I drop back to punt, I'm getting my legs taken out from underneath me. Like, you would think that has to affect you at some point, trying to get the ball off.
Seriously, it's completely unfair. They should give him, like, a bonus for what he went through yesterday.
They really should. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Bears yesterday. The Rob Rant coming up next.
Yeah.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
The amount of you that have either sent something to me personally on Twitter or have sent something into our text line this week of you walking into Neyland Stadium and taking pictures of the horse troughs. It's very humbling. All of you out there that have done that this week, we greatly appreciate it. I would guess I've had close to a dozen people send me one. Ah, yes, good times. The horse troughs live on.
Horse trough is kind of a yellow submarine, isn't it? In a way of thinking about it.
It really is.
Some people crawl in there and go underwater.
God, I hope not. it is time for the Rob Rant. Check it out every morning on the program, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. And I'm going to use this opportunity to really just highlight what we saw from the Tennessee Vols, because I knew we weren't going to get a chance to talk about it much today. We are going to get pretty heavy into college football tomorrow with Vanderbilt's performance over the weekend, Tennessee's performance over the weekend, and some other doozies in college football that we saw too. Mm-hmm. A couple upsets out there, which was fun to see. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow on the program as well. Number one, people starting to pronounce Nico Iamaliava's name properly, which is good to see.
And some not.
Some not. Some not going very well. We got to get that part of it nailed down. Once you get it, like, it's not that difficult. Like, once you find it lands with you, because it takes a while.
Yeah.
I'll admit, it takes a while. But I think it's finally landed with most people.
Well,
Iamaliava.
Yeah, and I used to say Iamaliava, right?
Iamaliava.
Is that what it was?
There's a lot of different.
Iamaliava.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they've put it out there. They had him doing the pronunciation on game day, and then, of course, McAfee. Rah, rah, rah! I had 30 Guinnesses last night. You know.
So my Rob brand is really against myself.
Okay.
Because I guess it's probably too early to totally abandon this, but I had some serious questions about Tim Banks heading into the year as to whether or not he's the right person to be the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Volunteers. And boy, did he make me look dumb on Saturday night. Let me tell you this. Nico's getting a lot of love, and Nico, I thought, was fine on Saturday. He had the one pick over the middle that he'd probably like to have back. The second pick he had, he's getting his arm ripped off as he's going down there, so it just kind of is what it is. But other than that, like, made some good plays with his feet, made a couple of nice throws in that game. He was fine. The defense for Tennessee is a problem for other people. And I got through the end of the game, and I thought to myself, you know, I still don't really know how good or not good the secondary is for Tennessee, because the defensive front is so good that it's hard for the offense to, like, they got dominated. NC State got dominated by that defensive front. And they come at you in waves. Like, James Pierce made a couple of loud plays in that game, but they are deep at linebacker. They are deep on the defensive line, and they were violent in that game on Saturday. It was a statement game for that Tennessee defense against NC State.
So today you are prepared to forever forgive and respect Matt LaFleur.
I am.
And also you are now apologizing to Tim Banks.
I am.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
There's some big matchups coming up for this defense. I'm with you. They looked amazing. And that's also, this is also like early in the season, you get into like, does NC State suck?
Maybe.
But they're up front. They are freaking.
That's the thing. Like,
they are tough.
Sometimes, regardless of who the opponent is, you can just kind of tell that a group is a little bit different, and that's what that Tennessee front is. Like, that Tennessee front is going to be a problem for every team they play.
It's insane how many guys, because like North and, you know, Herb Street, you know, did a great job of laying this out. You know, like they're seriously going like three guys at a spot and just keep everybody's fresh. I mean, Norman Lott is a really good player, West, but the guy who I think you have to pay attention to is Josephs. You know,
yes.
Pierce was past. Remember when they were freshmen, it was kind of like they're both really good. Which one's better? Then Pierce has taken off and he's a first round pick. Josephs is becoming a stud.
He was unbelievable.
And so now you have both those guys. Like, they are going to be a problem for people. Yeah, like you said, it's like, I still don't have a great sense for the secondary because it didn't matter in this game. At some point this year, it's going to matter.
At some point.
They're going to face teams.
Well, they might be good. I have no idea. I don't know the answer.
Well, Will Brooks had a pretty sweet little TD. Vol Twitter.
He did.
Huh?
First off, Josephs made that play. You're talking about Josephs. Like, he forced McCall into a horrendous decision. But if you go back and look at the replay, there's an NC State guy wide open right over the middle for a touchdown that McCall just didn't see. I was like, ugh. Okay. But, yeah, good play by Will Brooks. He told Vol Twitter to pound sand.
He did.
With that pick six.
He did. So, I hope everybody's excited. I love it. I think it was Reese Davis. He's like, can he go on scholarship for tonight at least?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's starting and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, can we get this guy? At least please tell me that, like, Spire Sports is paying for this dude's school this year. Good God.
That's the thing. Like, you don't necessarily have to be on scholarship nowadays. But
right.
Yeah.
I freaking hope so. No, I'm with you. They looked amazing. I will say, and I know we'll talk more Vols tomorrow and stuff, I really didn't like the first pick from Nico. Like, the second one, whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't like that first one. That was a little bit of like, whoo, man.
Very good.
You know, and they just – I wanted to see a little more from the passing game, but it's like you're killing them. They cannot stop your running game, and why not? And Samson was a little bit of an announcement to the country, too. He's a player.
Well, you know, they ran the ball for over 200 yards in this game, which is what they do. Like, everybody's going to focus in on the passing game with Tennessee. We've talked about this a million times. They're run first. Like, they run the ball really, really well, and that's what this offense does. I do think you saw a couple of examples in the game of just how shifty Nico can be extending a play.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I guess one thing I didn't really know until I saw it the other night, we saw it a little bit in the Iowa game, but even the runs he had in the Iowa game were pretty short distance. He was evading pressure and getting out, making a play, getting into the end zone from like 9 yards out. He made one play early in the game the other night where he broke the pocket, was running up the middle, had the linebacker coming at him from the right side and outran him over to the right and then outran the defensive back over to the right too. And Herb Street was like, yeah, that's a quarterback making that play. Nico's fast. I guess I didn't realize how fast he was.
No, he's – and I tell you what, how many 6'6 guys can run and elude like that?
Not many.
I'm trying to think of a 6'6 guy who has that kind of agility and speed.
It was like, something hard to watch.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no 6'6 like receivers, really, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah, no, he's – it's going to be – right now, I think the obvious best teams in college football, Texas, they should be number one. I know Michigan's not that good this year, but, man, they're good. Georgia, obviously, and Ohio State, I think. But after that, I could put right now with Tennessee, you could put them as with anybody else after those three.
I've got Tennessee 5 in my Robbie Stanley poll.
Well, there you go.
I've got Miami 4.
You got Miami 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the actual AP poll, Tennessee jumped up from 14 to 7. That's a pretty big jump in 1 week.
Yeah. Also in that poll, Notre Dame is still ranked ahead of Northern Illinois. Yeah, I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
If you're a voter early in the season, I'll jump in with a quick rant to add on to your rant.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to have huge differences. Just because you've ranked a team like, oh, I ranked them 5th last week, so I can only drop them to 12. No, you can drop Notre Dame out of the freaking pool.
You can.
You can take them totally out. You can do this. Some voters in this poll are so stupid.
Yes.
It's incredible.
I, for one, am shocked that Notre Dame lost and is overrated. That never happens.
Yeah.
I, for one, am really stunned by it.
I know. But, I mean, I don't think it's overstating things to say Tennessee looks like a top five team in the country.
They do. And again, I have no idea how good NC State is. I mean, they're preseason top 25. That doesn't mean anything when the season gets rolling. They struggled against Western Carolina. They got some good players.
They do.
And Tennessee just totally shut them down in that game.
Yeah. I mean, offensively, they're never great under Dave Dorn, but they're solid. They're always solid on D. A lot of this game was a blowout because of Tennessee's D, but yeah, they overwhelmed that's a solid football team. So get ready, Oklahoma, in a couple weeks. I mean,
we'll say.
They do not look good right now, Oklahoma.
They don't.
They had an ugly win, I'm just saying. And if you get that one, you know, it's almost like we take the drama out of the playoff thing.
Well, we'll see.
No, am I jumping ahead a little bit for you
here? But the thing that stood out to me, they scored 51 points the other night. And I know the defense had a pick six and played a big part of it. They scored 51 points in that game. And I didn't think the passing game went particularly well for them. Like, it's, you know, they had a couple of big plays to Squirrel White. The tight ends, you can tell, are going to be way more of a problem in this offense for defenses than they ever have been.
For sure.
You know, the play that got called back for a legal man down the field, which, by the way, as Reese Davis pointed out on the broadcast, I'm not sure they were down the field illegally on that play, but it got called off anyway. You know, Nico extending the play, rolling to his left, and Kitzelman was down the field wide open. That was a heck of a throw by Nico on that play. The tight ends are going to be a problem. Did not see a ton from Brew McCoy in that game. Thornton, I think, is a little bit banged up. I think he got one target in that game, and Squirrel White made a couple of plays. So I wasn't overly impressed with Brazel in the game either. So still some things from the passing game that they're going to have to work on.
And I'm just a little concerned that it feels like Thornton gets hurt a lot.
Yep.
And like we saw in the first game, okay, that's your take the top off the defense guy.
Yeah.
I thought maybe this would be a game where he builds on that, and that's kind of disappointing.
No doubt. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Vols and a lot of college football tomorrow on the program. Back into the Titans coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.